At Calvary?
Mm-hmm.
You hear us okay? No, where's the microphone?
Years of spent in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified. Knowing that it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden spoke of liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law as burned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sought on liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy thou was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Okay, bring them in is the next one.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. Who bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, this song reminds me of something the Lord shared with me earlier. Last night as I was in prayer, and he repeated it again this morning as I was in prayer and study. And I'll share it after church. I'll share it after the sermon that Brother Ace is going to share. So, that being said, let me get this set up because I got to shut off my microphone and turn on the audio. So, hold on. Okay, let's see. Here we go.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to part 4 of the Kingdom of God. As you can see in the subtitle, the topic will be to repent. So let's get started as we dig a little deeper into this sermon study into the Kingdom of God. As we have been traveling into this subject, it should have been revealed from His Word to us that the Kingdom of Heaven was at hand in Christ Jesus, and that God's will would reign in us through His Son. We had learned by His Word that the Kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but that the Kingdom of God is within you. And that was from Luke 17, 20 and 21. Further, we learned that Jesus sent His disciples to preach the Kingdom of God along with the 70. In this teaching of the Kingdom of God by the disciples, the teaching was pointing to the manifestation
Okay. I always get mixed up, you know, when I, so we forgot to pray. So why don't we do that? I'll start the sermon over. Because we haven't sang in a while and I got all mixed up, so let's pray. If you can kneel, please do so. Thank you, Blue, for reminding me. And don't call me Amp. All right. Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for blessing us with brothers and sisters in the faith and a desire to come to You in prayer. Thank You for blessing us with prayer, too. It's where we can always come to You when we're in need. And we are in need now. We are in the days that Your scriptures speak of that are the end times. And we need Your help to go through these days. We need the light of rain. We need the faith that moves the mountains. We need the character of Your Son. And we need to repent of our ways. And so forgive us, Father. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bless us with that latter rain. And thank You also for blessing this message that You have given Brother Ace to share with us, especially for those souls that need to hear it today. Let their eyes and ears and their heart be wide open to this. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Should I start it over, or should I just continue on? It was only like in it 10 seconds or 20 seconds. Start it over? Okay. All right. The problem is there's some dead air in the beginning here. I think, let's see. Yep. All right. I'm just about there. Okay. Here we go. And don't forget, after church, I want to share something. Kind of like an announcement. Well, it is an announcement. So stick around.
We had learned by His Word that the Kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Greetings, friends, and welcome back to part 4 of the Kingdom of God. As you can see in the subtitle, the topic will be to repent. So let's get started as we dig a little deeper into this sermon study into the Kingdom of God. As we have been traveling into this subject, it should have been revealed from His Word to us that the Kingdom of Heaven was at hand in Christ Jesus, and that God's will would reign in us through His Son. We had learned by His Word that the Kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but that the Kingdom of God is within you. And that was from Luke 17, 20 and 21. Further, we learned that Jesus sent His disciples to preach the Kingdom of God along with the 70. In this teaching of the Kingdom of God by the disciples, the teaching was pointing to the manifestation of His divine power and his grace. Then the last time we shared on this subject, we learned that there would be many that would say, Lord, Lord, in that day, but they would not enter into his kingdom because of not doing the will of the Father. They were just workers of iniquity and never accepted the invitation of the power of his grace. So in order to turn from iniquity, we need to do what? Repent. So that will now bring us to the fourth part of the sermon study on this subject. I pray that our Lord touches your hearts as we look into his word and why we need to repent. So we'll start off at number one here in the room, taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 31 and 32, where it says, Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Friends, when the invitation of the kingdom of God has been poured out to you, will you repent and accept the grace of God that has been freely given? In this passage, sinners that repented are doing the work in their lives to be heirs of the kingdom of God. But those leaders of the Jewish nation refused the message of John's testimony and could never show the fruits that would bring them to repentance and righteousness. Their self-righteousness is not true righteousness. Self can be your biggest enemy. So friends, we can't earn our salvation because our works are filthy rags. But we should endeavor in seeking for it, willing to give up all that we have to obtain it. We can't earn our own salvation. We just can't be a Christian that is willing to surrender almost all, but we must be that very peculiar Christian that desires to surrender all, including the pride of self. Can we boast we almost made it to eternity? We almost received the kingdom? Near the kingdom does not mean you'll enter in. We need to overcome and repent. When we fall short, we're actually just lost. Now, what is it to repent? What is true repentance? First, let's look at this word repent. From Greek, from Strong's, it's number G3340. And it's metanoeo. Right, and it's to think differently or afterwards, that is, reconsider morally, to feel compunction, that's to repent. Is true repentance turning from sin because of seeing the penalty that will be put upon you will be great? Is seeing how you will have to suffer for your wrongdoing is the reason you turn from your sin because of being afraid of the penalty? Is that true repentance? Absolutely not. Friends, we need to recognize how repugnant sin really is, especially in the eyes of the Lord. Sin is what caused our dear Savior to be hung on that cross. We must feel remorse, sorrow, and moral compunction in the violation of transgressing His law. We must feel sorrow for those transgressions and have a desire to do them no more because of the recognition of that sin or of our sins. You see, when you come to Christ just as you are and His Spirit dwells in you, He lifts that veil from your eyes so that you will recognize sin and that you will have a true change of heart. So true, genuine repentance is to turn from sin and do it no more because of the recognition and remorse of the wrongdoing, rather than turning from sin because of being afraid of the penalty. I pray that we all understand this. Here below you will see a woman named Mary who showed true repentance and was grateful for the gift of repentance. And number two, taken from Luke chapter 7 from verses 44 to 50, it reads, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is given, forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So we see Mary's faith saves her. A repentant sinner, our Savior welcomes with open arms. A repentant sinner, our Lord wants. Remember, he came for the lost. The more you sin, the more you need Jesus, friends. What happened to her past sins? Jesus said, Thy sins are forgiven. That's true remorse. Repent today, friends, and he will forgive you as well. Come as you are. Don't feel you need to repent first in order to come to Jesus. But know that you need to first find the strength of Jesus to find victory over those sins. You need to find Jesus first. Self will always fail. Self-righteousness will never allow you to endure to the end. But in only taking hold of the righteousness of Christ will you find victory in being able to endure to the end. By coming to Jesus, this will bring on the fruits of the Spirit. And without His Spirit, we cannot find true repentance. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5, it reads, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall be humble, who shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. So unless we are converted, we can't enter his kingdom. To be converted is to be changed. Reversed from the old position. To be transformed. Again, I say if we need to be converted, we must have had a character that we have had that is not conducive to enter his kingdom. We need a character of Christ which means we need to repent of our selfish ways. Turn from self-righteousness and from the carnal old man, and have a desire to walk in the new man. Receive your fellow man in the character of Christ. To do things in Jesus' name is to understand Jesus is the origin of the new desires of the new man. To receive one in his name is to receive one in his character. And I'll take it from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall enter the kingdom of God." And from Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So Paul makes a very clear statement that anyone who continues to practice sin will not be part of the kingdom of glory. The fruits of his spirit cannot be taken in upon the heart as he, our comforter, is grieved away, and the reign and power of his grace cannot be rooted in the heart of those that won't repent. All sinners must make that decision to remove themselves from the practice of sin, which is to repent and do it no more, and follow the example of Christ. Walk in those footsteps, and you know you're not alone. His Spirit must dwell in you. We have a mighty elder brother, friends. We're not alone in this trial to overcome our sin. We have an advocate with the Father. Read 1 John chapter 2 when you have time. You will see we all have Christ, our righteousness. We have help. Now looking at number 6, 7, 8 in the room. It's going to take from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and also from Matthew chapter 4, 17, and Mark 1, 15. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And from Matthew 4, 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach, and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." From Mark 1:15, it says, "And saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now, what is taking precedence in all these scriptures? That's right. Repent. You just can't profess to be a follower of Christ Jesus, and yet still have a desire to practice sin. It says, repent. Sin will not enter his kingdom. Where are we in making that sacrifice? Has not his word declared to your conscience that you will not be a subject in his eternal kingdom of glory unless you repent of your sinful ways? Big sin, little sin, they're all sins, period. He has given us a thus saith the Lord to repent. Are we committed in doing as the Lord has pressed upon our hearts? It's time to examine ourselves. At number 9, Luke 9:62, it reads, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When we are committed in doing the work for the Lord, we just can't look back to self, nor can we look back to old sins. We are to repent and do it no more. Commit yourselves to the Lord's work. Yes, there's going to be tough times before us. We all know that. Satan is wroth. He is angry that we have left his line in being a rebellion to the law of God. We will have to endure some serious trials. These hours of trials are necessary, friends, so that we can be built up upon the rock of Christ. Our faith will increase when we see that he truly seeks us through these rough times. Just know that these times are given so that we may endure to the end. We know it's through Christ only can we endure to the end. Amen? And number 10 from Acts 14:22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It says we must through much tribulation. So brothers and sisters, glory in your trials. Give him all the glory. Whatever we must do to turn from sin, do it, please. Anything that will cause us to fall back into sin, we must repent of it, whatever it is. Whatever it is, remove yourself even from the sight of anything that's evil. Remove yourself from all appearance of evil. You don't want to be in a place or in the area where you're going to be tempted. Turn from it. In Mark chapter 9, verse 47, at number 11, Jesus said, And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Amen. Whatever, friends, we need to do to remove us from sin, do it. So yes, repentance will require from each individual a great personal sacrifice. Who will pick up their cross? We have to pick up our cross. It really does take a serious sacrifice to follow the way of the Lord. Repentance involves a sacrifice, friends. It involves it. Now let's look at number 12 in the room. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 to 30. It says, Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We have to be willing to make a great sacrifice for the cause of Christ. It needs to be said of us on the great day that they surrendered all. Has the Lord called you to do such a work? Brothers and sisters? Are the many that are called making a great sacrifice for the cause of Christ? The Lord's calling us, or else we wouldn't even be here listening to the sermon. Again, I say to you, repentance will involve a great sacrifice of every future subject that will enter that everlasting kingdom of glory. Laboring for the Lord now will help you gain eternal life then. Store your riches in heaven by doing the work today. Take heed. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, add number 13 in the room. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So piling up our wealth here where moth and rust corrupts will profit you what? It will profit you nothing. It will all burn on that great and dreadful day. Leave behind all and everything that keeps you from doing God's will. Anything that's taking your mind off His Word and off Christ, leave it behind. Don't let your heart be there. Put the work of God first. Brothers and sisters, always remember this one thing. Ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. So if you belong to God, then who does all that you have belong to? That's right, it's the Lord's. What you have is His. So, yes, who is willing to give for the cause of Christ? Remember this as well. Your fellow brethren, your brothers and sisters, they belong to the Savior as well. So treat them with love as they are the Lord's property. Who is willing to be that peculiar Christian that truly desires to surrender all? I pray that's every last one of us in this room. The love of money and the love of Jesus cannot occupy the very same space in your heart. Money can buy you grand luxuries of this world. But what did John say about the things of this world? What did John say? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We just read a little while ago in Luke chapter 18, verse 28, how Peter said they gave up all they had in this world to follow Jesus. He said, we have given up all. We are to do the very same, giving up the things of this world. Are we followers of Christ forsaking all of the lust of the flesh? Are we followers of His Word? If we are, then we ought to strive to be His people, surrendering all for His cause. It all belongs to Him anyways. The Word declares of His followers, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever so He goeth. Revelation 14:4. We must repent in order to follow the Lamb. Friends, repentance requires much sacrifice, and if we are to be those that keep His commandments, then we have to repent just as Jesus requires us to do. We should all thank the Lord for giving us wisdom. Having knowledge of His Word and being able to discern many truths and the hidden gems of His Word is a gift from above. Amen. It is. Talents bestowed upon His people will and should be used to glorify God. But now, if we have all of that and have all these talents, but we refuse to repent, then that leaves us out of His kingdom of glory. If we hide those talents and repent not. And number 15, Luke chapter 13, verse 5. His word declares this. These are the words from Jesus. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Brothers and sisters, I implore you daily to look upon the cross of Christ. By doing so, you should behold the greatest act of love given to us by Jesus, the one whom your sins, my sins, all of our sins, has caused many stripes, many wounds to that body. When you behold that infinite love He had for you and me, then I pray your heart will be able to be drawn to repentance. This is a serious subject. Your sins have separated you from your Savior. Sin separates you from God. But repentance draws you nearer to the foot of the cross. It is where we all need to be, at the very feet of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Confess your sins and repent. Take heed to the subject matter. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and be converted, friends, so that our sins may be wiped away when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, may God keep you in His arms and continue to send His Spirit that we may have that opportunity to be with Him in eternity. God bless and keep the love of Christ in you so that you may endure to the end. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, friends.
Revive us again. Amen.
Good choice.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of God, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine glory, hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown up our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine glory, hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine glory, hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine glory, hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine glory, revive us again. again.
Okay, amen and amen. So, if you can kneel, we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us in your word on Sabbath day when you always change the showbread. We thank you for blessing us with a desire to do your will, to be obedient, even if sometimes it's difficult. Thank you for letting us pass these, helping us pass these tests so that we can be used by you in a mighty way in the days to come. And when we fall short, Father, please, we thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can continue. Please bless the workers, Lord, and the work they do and those that help us do the work. Please bless all those on our prayer list, especially our sons and daughters and their sons and daughters, and those that are lost. And those that are sick, Father, please bless them with their miracle, whether it's physical sickness or spiritual sickness. We pray that you bless them. And again, Father, thank you so much for Sabbath, giving us a day each week where we can contemplate that which you have done for us. Throughout all eternity, we're going to be able to do this, and we pray that we are worthy to stand in your kingdom. And we thank you for all these things and pray to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.